Majesty said the determination and strength of Ukrainians continues to inspire. Western politicians are visiting President Zelensky in a show of support for his fight against Moscow's forces. But Russia's ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, says they only went in because people were being mistreated by the Kyiv government.
Russia didn't start this war, it came to put an end to it. All the Kyiv authorities had to do was respect people's rights, let them live in peace on their own territory, study in their own language, and enjoy freedom of religion.
A Russian drone attack has hit a residential building in the southern Ukrainian city of Odessa, killing at least one person. Elsewhere, opposition parties want to see a Tory MP thrown out of the Conservatives because of comments he's made about Sadiq Khan. Lee Anderson's claimed that Islamists have, in his words, got control of the London mayor and of the city. Our political correspondent Mary Aurora has more.
We haven't heard very much from the Tory benches in terms of condemnation of these comments. Now, Lee Anderson's brand is very much to be quite controversial. He's often in these kind of media spats.
A group which represents NHS Trust says ministers and junior doctors need to be imaginative to resolve a long-running pay row. The medics have started a five-day strike. The woman who owns the house where an unexploded World War II bomb was found in Plymouth says it's been an absolute nightmare. It was blown up in the sea last night. And in sport, England's cricketers have put themselves on top in the fourth test against India. The hosts will resume tomorrow on 219 for 7 in Ranchi. That's the latest. I'm Ruth McKee.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
OK, your latest weather update. Still chilly out there today, fog patches coming in this afternoon, but there will be some isolated sunny spells as well. Feeling quite cool today, 8 degrees, and tonight there will be some showers coming and they will die out overnight. Then fog coming in around morning with some frost patches forming by dawn. A minimum temperature tonight of just 0 degrees, so a chilly one. And then tomorrow, chilly start, fog patches slowly lifting, a dry but increasingly cloudy morning, turning windier into the afternoon with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. And pretty much the same for Monday to Wednesday of next week. Strong winds, outbreaks of rain, feeling cold at night, and an average temperature. But obviously, as we know, that could change. We'll keep you updated each and every hour.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
So, welcome back to the second hour of the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98FM. Hope you're having a great weekend. Now, as promised, I do have a special guest in the studio today, so please welcome Gavin Davies from Stand Up Theatre School.
Hello, thank you for having me.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing really good, thank you.
Good, thank you for coming in today. So, we are here to talk about stand-up. So, before we do that, tell us a bit about yourself, Gavin.
So I started life as an actor after university. Didn't go quite so well, though. I don't think I quite had the look, as it were. So I then decided to work in London in a... It was actually a ticketing place. Worked with Andrew Lloyd Webber, Cameron McIntosh, and gradually worked my way up there until I decided that I actually wanted to become a teacher. So then I went to train, become a secondary school teacher for drama, worked at Malden in the Plume Academy, and now I am at Harris Academy Riverside, working as a full-time drama teacher and, well, head of expressive arts there as well.
And how do you find, because lots of actors have either sort of moved from teaching to acting or vice versa, how do you find the whole teaching role?
Well, to be honest with you, I absolutely love it. I love going into work every day, being in that environment, helping children perform, gain confidence. It's just something that is really, really rewarding, to be honest with you. And it's something, although acting was my passion when I was a lot younger, it's something that I always knew would probably be very, very difficult to get into. So I think that having teaching as a lot of people call it a backup career, but actually doing it full time, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I always think teaching, for me, I've said this many a time on this show, that teaching is like the fourth emergency service. It really is an essential service, and if you get the right teacher, that shapes you for life, doesn't it? And obviously, if you get a teacher that's not a natural fit for you, that you also, you know, it's difficult. So I think teaching is such an important part of development and everything. So, as you've moved from acting to teaching, kind of, what did you learn from the acting world that you was able to kind of bring into your teaching role?
I think it's about that, with that confidence, and enabling children to have confidence is such a huge part of what we now stand for. And especially in the teaching world, especially in drama, that is our main goal. And when I actually have new students, year sevens coming into our school, I never say that I am trying to train you up to become an actor. That's not my job. My job is here to enable you to have more confidence, to put your hand up in French, history, geography, science, any of those kind of subjects, to be able to give you the confidence to ask questions and to speak out.
And do you think, it's weird, isn't it? Because obviously modern day life moves at such pace and everything is so advancing so quickly. But am I right in thinking that one of the things that maybe is less progressive is that children are becoming slightly more insular because, you know, things with technology and gadgets, they're not experiencing those social skills as much? Because I was chatting to somebody the other day, it was a teenager, sort of 16 years of age, and I was talking to them about, and I think they in the early stages of a relationship with somebody, and I was like, oh, did you go out, where did you meet and whatever, and it was like, oh, we haven't met yet, it's online. And even though I knew that, I was quite naive to think, you know, is it going to get to the point where nobody goes out or nobody talks face to face and gains those vital skills of communicating and talking to people?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? The teenagers in particular, if they have a phone, their heads are in their phones constantly. And to be honest with you, as adults, we're all guilty. I'm pretty guilty of it myself. However, we need to also tap into what teenagers are actually doing at this moment in time. And part of my curriculum at my school, I'm trying to involve mobile phone technology into the classroom. So trying to make short films, giving them producer roles, director roles, really trying, also looking at TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and seeing how you can actually really engage with them in something that they are interested in. I'm sure that when we were younger ourselves, teachers were probably thinking exactly the same thing about computers, etc.
Yeah.
And it's how you actually use it in a positive way, but also how you do engage them. And I think you're right that they are losing social skills, and that is really why we set up our new theatre school, to be honest with you.
And I do think that without coming across as really old, I do think the younger people, they get a rough time because there is this perception of, you know that every young child's bad and their bad behaviour and all this. And I just think it's outrageous. It's like there's such a lot of promise out there, and it is. And I just think, you know, people need to tap into that, don't they? Which sounds like what you're doing. So leading nicely on then, so how does this work? So tell us about Stand Up Theatre School.
So Stand Up Theatre School was created by myself and my colleagues. There's four of us in total. We have all worked in primary and secondary schools, and we noticed after COVID, after lockdowns and children being alone for quite some time, their social skills were lacking. And when they came back into the classrooms, they couldn't put their hand up, they couldn't stand up, they couldn't be themselves at all. Their confidence had pretty much gone. There was a few that retained it, but the majority, and that's not an exaggeration, the majority found it really tough to come back into a school environment.
I know a couple of primary, sorry to interrupt, a couple of sort of infant and nursery teachers and in early year settings, and they say that for those children that were in the key stages of development very young when the pandemic hit, they went back into nurseries. They couldn't do things like feed themselves and go to the bathroom and stuff like that. Their skills had been severely, like, impeded by what has gone on.
And I'm sure parents and grandparents have all seen this at home as well. The social skills, the confidence has really been lacking. So, as I was saying, we were our colleagues, we got together, and we said, we're going to have a whole generation, if we're not careful, this COVID generation that people are calling it, that their confidence is just going to be so lacking for the workplace. when it's time for them to go and get a job. And I said to, I was saying to a few of the students, you know, if you're going to go for a Saturday job at Nando's, for example, you need to go and speak to someone. You need to be able to look them in the eye. You need to be able to sell yourself and be confident in your own ability. And this is really where stand-up came about, our theatre school, because we said, what can we do to help this generation? And so we invented stand-up theatre school. And the reason it's called stand-up is literally to be able to stand up and be yourselves. Have that confidence that you can actually do that. And like I said at the beginning, with teaching, it's not about necessarily making people actors. It's about all of those children that have lost the confidence and now have anxiety to go into a classroom, that they can actually go in, make friends, talk to people, put their hands up. And that's why we created Stand Up.
And it sounds like that what you're offering is very different to... And there are lots and lots of great schools around. But it's different because I think if you focus solely on the acting part, then, without being cliched, people often hide behind characters when they're acting, so they can, if they're being encouraged just to stand up and speak as themselves, that's wildly different, isn't it? And it's kind of, you know, for them to be able to have the skill set to do that is impressive.
Yeah, you're right. There are fantastic theatre schools out there all over Essex. And the reason we wanted stand-up, we are different. We don't focus on music, singing at all, or dance. And a lot of theatre schools do that. We primarily want to focus on people's confidence and social skills. So we offer acting and public speaking. And we actually specialise in Lambda exams as well. I know that yourself, you were...
We're trained at Lambda, yeah.
Trained at Lambda, which is fantastic. But Lambda exams really gave our students confidence. As I say, in public speaking, they create their own speech. They have to stand up and be themselves. They're not hiding behind a character. And they're talking about something they're really passionate about as well. And that really has helped. We've seen such an enormous transformation in the students that have come to us, and parents alike. We have many, many testimonials from our parents saying how incredible it was. I was actually at our theatre school this morning and talking to some of our junior parents, and they were saying, oh, it's unbelievable. I won't say the student's name, but this particular student, she literally couldn't speak out loud in front of anyone before she came to us. She's only been coming to us 3 weeks, and already I went and saw their rehearsals today. She's already speaking out loud really confidently, and she looks like a changed girl. It's fantastic.
So, and I appreciate this is not going to be a very quick question to answer, but a quick response. But what are two or three things that people could focus on that you would work on and your team would work on to get somebody to be more confident in public speaking? So, you know, are there kind of obvious things that you could hook into? What's the whole process around it?
One of the first things we look at, what are they actually so worried about? What is their biggest fear for public speaking? And the majority of the time, if you ask the whole group, they would all pretty much say the same thing. It's the amount of people, the attention, not knowing what they would potentially might say. And so we go through the stages of how they can actually overcome that. I also have a public speaking avatar. I call them a public speaking avatar that they can jump into. So it's almost like their superhero version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And we build that up. We kind of think, what is it that you are so worried about? Is it that it's all of these different people, you're going to forget your words, then there's your your public speaking avatar will have a fantastic memory, for example. And all of a sudden they start to build this almost like a character, but it's a character of themselves that actually then gives them that confidence to be able to start speaking and looking people in the eye as well.
And I don't think there's anything more encouraging and emotive than seeing a child find their voice.
Oh, it's incredible.
You know, if you get a child that's, you know, as a baby that's hiding behind, you know, their parents or whoever, and you see them as they grow and they suddenly find their voice, it's so inspiring to see. It's one of the most powerful things, isn't it? It really
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely, and that's why we do this job as well. That's the whole reason we set up Stand Up Theatre School, is purely for that exact reason, to watch these children transform from people that could not socially speak to their peers or adults. And then the transformation, like I say, is unreal, and it's so rewarding.
Oh, and what do you think it is, or are, the challenges that face young people today in kind of trying to find their voice? You know, obviously we have challenges, you know, we know the good of social media, but we know the bad side of social media as well. What are the challenges you think they face within everyday education, but also outside of that?
Well, I've got the privileged perspective of being in, obviously, a school and seeing that environment as well. The pressure is enormous on our teenage children and younger as well. And it's getting younger because, obviously, mobile phones are out there, as you say, social media, and the pressure to be wearing the right thing, to be able to look in the right way, is far greater than ever we had before. And obviously, even when we were younger, there was definitely a pressure there, the peer pressure, but it's completely changed. And it used to be that you used to be able to go home and that would be it. You'd leave whatever it was at school if there was an issue, but now it carries on all over social media, on WhatsApp messages, Snapchat, Instagram. It's just everywhere. So there are many, many challenges for our kids. But it's not all doom and gloom, because as we said before, there are many, many things that we can do to help them. And that's what we are trying to do.
Okay, we'll be back after these ads.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
In a world that's always racing forward, sometimes we need to slow down and reconnect.
Connect genuinely, broaden your perspective, and share your passion.
That's why we bring you Bonafide Dialogues with Christina Cuppers. Visit YouTube and search for Bonafide Dialogues with Christina Cuppers, or head over to our website at bonafidedialogues.com. Bonafide Dialogues, where authenticity, creativity, and passion merge.
Your body's got me feeling under pressure, babe. Tell me lies, it don't matter when I'm drowning in your pleasure. It feels electric, babe. So deep, it's in my veins. I feel the pain, so please, don't play those games, don't play with me. Just a bit of sweet love, not your bitter sweet love. I need just a bit of sweet love, not your bitter sweet love. Give me just a bit of sweet love, not your bitter sweet love. I need just a bit of sweet love, not your bitter sweet. And I could eulogize about the way you look in the red light. You're a killer, it is a thriller, babe. Tell me why do you feel the need to run me through the ringer when I'm hook, line, and sinker, babe? So deep, it's in my veins. I feel the pain, so please, don't play those games, don't play with me. I'm not afraid to
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm still joined by Gavin in the studio from Stand Up Theatre School. So we were just talking before the ads there about kind of confidence building with children and things. So tell us about, you obviously established Stand Up in, is it Witham, you said?
Yeah, that's right, Witham.
Yeah, so tell us about the new branch you've got in Brentwood.
So our new branch opened at Beckett Keys School, obviously here in Brentwood. And we've only been running just a few weeks, to be honest with you. So we just wanted to come and obviously speak about what we're offering there. So we have, as we were talking about before, we're offering Lambda exams. We look at performance skills, workshops. We also do murder mystery devised events. And every year we would do a pantomime as well.
Okay, so when can people find these classes on? When do they go along?
So we've opened on a Friday evening. Okay. So we have our junior section, which starts at 5 o'clock till 6.30. And then our seniors come in from 6.30 till 8 o'clock. When I say seniors, that's senior school age. And juniors is...
So is that up to 18 years of age?
It's up to 18, that's right, yeah.
Okay, and say somebody comes along and it's there, you know, slightly nervous about coming along, don't know what to expect. What can they expect from a class?
So the one thing that we do, that we promote more than anything at Stand Up, is a community. So our little schools, that we are not a big, massive schools. We are a small community, and we are very open, and welcoming, and it's all about friendship as well. In our Witham school, which is what we're trying to emulate here in Brentwood, our seniors, for example, they all have their own WhatsApp group. They go out on nights out, and they know they have a really lovely friendship together, and that's what we are trying to promote here as well in Brentwood. So when someone first comes along, we are offering 2 free weeks. You don't have to pay anything at all to come and see us. 2 free weeks at Beckett Keys School, and you will be included in games. We do lots of drama games to try and break the ice as well. And there's also, as a new school, there's going to be quite a few new people there. Not everybody knows each other. So it's a perfect time to come actually and try something new.
Yeah, and it's really good, as we've talked about, from the confidence side of things. It's just kind of, it's almost, nobody forgets their first class anywhere, or you know, the first time you go into a club or something. It's always nerve-wracking to think what to expect and what to do. And I think, I really like the word community you use there, because quite often, I can completely get why people use the word, but I often get people saying, oh, we're a big family, and sometimes family doesn't always have a positive connotation, if that makes sense. For community is the better thing for me, because it means you're all in the same boat together, and you're all kind of, you know, you're part of the one group, which I really, really like. So if somebody was to come in and they were interested in taking public speaking and talking about kind of, you know, building those skills and stuff, what sort of kind of... Is it assignments? How would you start to develop that and bring that out of someone?
One of my favourite games to play actually is called Just a Minute. You may remember it. It's a famous radio
game.
And it's so much fun. For those people that do not know it, you will have a panel, a group of people standing there, and you're given a topic to talk on for 1 minute. If you hesitate, say or if you deviate from the actual...
Is it repeat a word as well?
Then the other person can buzz in, and they can actually say that, what was it, deviation, hesitation, repetition, and they will then take over the time. And it's a bit of a fun way. They're doing public speaking without really knowing it. They're talking about a subject that could be absolutely... Absolutely. We could be talking about jam donuts, for example. It could be anything. And the way that... Well, I'd have just been buzzed there because I said So, you know, I'm not really doing a very good job here. But it's a really fun...
Neither am I. I didn't notice. That's terrible.
So you didn't buzz in time. So it's just a really fun way to get the children engaged to start with. That's just one of the many exercises that we would use.
Yeah. And do kind of... And do you see a natural progression from your pupils, you know, as the weeks roll on, kind of, you see kind of just little bits falling into place and you think, oh yeah, they've got that, and it just goes to the next stage. Is it like an ongoing process?
It's always an ongoing process. Even coming here today, for myself, as you said, when you go somewhere new, you know, you don't know what to expect, etc. No. So we all have that. It's that's never going to necessarily completely go away. And I always think that a little bit of nerves is not a bad thing. You can use that, and it shows that you care as well, to be honest with
and
you.
And I think people think, and you will know this, that if, as a teacher, both in mainstream education and kind of as a kind of hobby as well, that I think that people automatically think that you don't get nervous, you can get up and you can just talk and do that. Well, far from it. Far from it. You know, I still get, every single week I get butterflies from starting this, and because it's that, you know, it's that wanting to do a good job. And like you say, when you're little and, you know, people are thinking, oh, well, what if I'm going to say the wrong thing? Well, you know, it's kind of, you, that's still ingrained in you, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, that I would never want really to quash that completely. I don't think that's not healthy either. It's good to have a mixture of it. But to be able to control it and to be able to understand how to use those nerves, I think is a really important skill. So to answer your point, really, about the development that we see, the progress, it is very different for each child that joins us. And sometimes you will see development within an hour. Sometimes it will be weeks, sometimes months. But there is always that slow development that really will enhance them going forward. And I think that is what we do it for, as I say. Sometimes it's really small wins each week, and sometimes it's those big wins, and we can celebrate everything.
And if somebody out there, if there's a sort of a child listening, or parents of a child who is maybe quite reluctant to put themselves forward and maybe shyer than other children, are there any immediate steps that you could suggest to remain calm and to kind of get your voice out? Anything they could work on?
Yeah, breathing is a massive thing. Breathing, just to, you know, in for five, out for three, whatever works for you. But just to be able to take a deep breath. You don't have to rush. We all rush. When we're a bit nervous, we all go a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. When we're talking, I talk incredibly fast normally. I'm probably talking quite fast today because I'm excited about what we're talking about, etc. But yeah, just to slow down and realize that, you know, this isn't a life or death situation. This is just a moment to actually take a deep breath and calm down. And I think that really, you say about the parents, and it is really talking to parents and making them understand that if they do have a child that is anxious or shy, drama is for them. A lot of people will say, oh no, drama's not for them. They're so shy. They you know, they wouldn't do very well. That is exactly why they should be going.
Exactly. That's exactly it is for them. Yes, exactly. Okay, so let's just remind people, Stand Up Theatre School, you are in your new premises in Brentwood in
Beckett Keys School.
On a Friday evening, there are two separate sessions, is that right?
Yep, we do our juniors, like I say, their primary school age. That is from 5 o'clock till 6:30 p.m. And then straight after 6:30 p.m. until 8, we have our senior school age, right up until 18.
So if anyone is interested in these classes, this interview and details of the schools will be available on my show page over the weekend anyway. But if you're interested in finding out, you are on Instagram, Stand Up UK, and you are also on Facebook, the same thing. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but I'm pretty sure that
we're on Facebook and Instagram, and also we have our website, which is standupuk.com. like I said, our contact details are on there. 2 free weeks for anyone that wants to come and try it, no obligation whatsoever. Bring your child along and see if they can also gain confidence.
So all that information will be on the show page, so the website's available as well as social media. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been great
stuff.
FM travel news.
Okay, latest travel update from me today. The roads are still looking quite busy at the moment. No major problems. There was the ongoing accident that was around the Brook Street roundabout. That's now cleared and traffic moving okay. There are roadworks in the Herongate area, which are causing significant delays if you pass through there. The earlier problems on the A12 leaving Gallows Corner to the M25 junction have now been cleared as well. So all in all, not looking too bad. Now, London Underground, there's still some issues on a number of lines. I'll go through those for you. You have a severe delays on the Central Line. You have a park closure on the District, the Docklands Light Railway, the Elizabeth and the Piccadilly Line, with a planned closure now for the Waterloo and City Line around tea time. Now, if you're travelling on Greater Anglia into London Liverpool Street, service is running okay at the moment. Services on C2C are subject to timetable alteration due to engineering works on the Basildon line. Services are running into Fenchurch Street and Liverpool Street, so do check with C2C before heading out because you may well be disrupted.
Two mice fell into a bucket of cream. Here's two guys that fell into a radio station to talk about movies on Phoenix FM.
Well, time flies. It's that time again. Mr. Mark Searby's back in the studio talking about all new film and DVD releases on the Phoenix Film and DVD Review. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Spencer. Okay?
Yeah, not bad, not bad at all. Looking forward to today's delights. What have we got?
Oh, well, we've got a few movies. It's not a huge blockbuster week this week. Instead, it's the turn of the small indie movies, I think. It's their time to shine. And obviously, we're still in awards season as well. Let's not forget that. So, a couple of movies here that have been spoken about low-key for awards nominations along the
Just
way.
Just very quickly, did you watch the BAFTAs?
I did see the BAFTAs, yes. And I think we can all agree David Tennant was a superb host.
Absolutely.
I thought he was great. Oppenheimer, almost a clean sweep, doesn't surprise me at all. That's what I've been backing all the way. However, the one that I really wanted and actually got was Divine Randolph Joy winning for Best Supporting Actress for The Holdovers. She's just amazing in that movie.
We spoke about that, didn't we?
We have.
We reviewed it,
Yeah, I'm so pleased she gets it. It's just wonderful. But, I watched it and I thought, you know what? Worthy winners. There was nobody who I really disagreed with. There was a couple, but on the whole, I'm like, they've got this right. They've got my seal of approval.
Yeah, I thought it was quite a standout year for the BAFTAs, because sometimes there are ones I think, what on earth? Why did you do, you know? but this year, there were a couple, like you said, I was like, well, okay, yeah, I can see it, but I'm not that bothered. But I thought it was a great year. I really did.
Yeah, well, last year was a good year for movies anyway. That's the thing, you know, it was...
Next year will be interesting, won't it? Because, as you said, we've had that lull, haven't we, in filmmaking.
That's the thing. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the course of the next 18 months as to where it goes from here. Because, obviously, 2023 was a very rich year for movies. 2024, well, we wait to see. But, you know, as I said, going back to the movies today, a couple of movies here that, if these were... award nominations, awards-worthy movies, I'd agree with it, really. And the first one we'll talk about, it's in cinemas now, is a movie called Memory. And Sylvia is a social worker who leads a simple and structured life. This is blown open when Sol follows her home from their high school reunion. Their surprise encounter will profoundly impact both of them as they open the door to the past.
Right.
So... this is a small movie. It's a really small movie, but it deals with a very big subject, memory, as the title suggests. Mm-hmm. But it's not as cut and dried as you would expect. I found this a curious piece that for large parts of it deals with one aspect of memory, and then towards the end switches it around to look at something else that we associate with memory. I'm not going to say what it is because... of the way that it changes, but it's not difficult to follow. I think it is instead a movie that's quite weighty with its subject matter, as to be expected when you're talking about memory. Sylvia is played by Jessica Chastain, and this is a fascinating performance because she's very reserved, almost introverted, and Sylvia's kind of a woman who is almost scared of the world. But she has to go out to work. But even then, it's not so much... Like, she's got seven locks on her door. She doesn't like her daughter going out to a party. She doesn't like any of that. She is very scared. But even when she goes to the school reunion, she goes out, but she sits meekly in a chair, doesn't talk to anybody. She is 99% closed off to the real world. You know, she lives in her own bubble with her daughter.
Is it like social anxiety or something? Or?
It is to a certain degree, yes. Yes, the more you understand Sylvia in this movie, the more you'll understand why she's like she is, why she is trying to stay away from the outside world, why she's trying to protect her daughter from the outside world, why she's fighting back as well, because, you know, there's a lot of push and pull in the relationship between Sylvia and her daughter, which I thought was really quite interesting to watch, because this is somebody who's in her teens and obviously wants to do all the things teens do. But her mum's not going to let her do it. And there is a really interesting dynamic between those two characters there. But then when Sylvia starts to, as I said, you know, Sylvia meets Sol, he follows her home. She eventually starts to work for Sol as his carer. And everything changes for both of them as Sol has dementia and is struggling. It's a storyline that's going to hit a lot of people very hard. And the way it's played out here, there's no jokes here at all. I've seen some movies that have dealt with dementia that have kind of had a few jokes in it just to lighten the mood. There's none of that here. It's very much straight down the line. It's showing the real truth that it is heartbreaking and it's difficult to watch. And, you know, in a sort of possibly a weird way, I loved the way the fact that this film does not shy away from making points about how Sol is struggling, but also how his family is struggling as well. It's a very open movie when it's talking about Sol. He's the open book, Sylvia's the closed book. It's tough to watch, as I said. But
And you know why? Because with dementia is, you know, anybody that's going through any kind of illness, you know, it's completely heartbreaking. But with the majority of illnesses, there are either medication you can take that can kind of, you know, slow it down, or as we know, you know, not all things are curable. But with dementia, there is nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And, you know, I think everybody knows somebody who's experienced dementia. I mean, I know I certainly, in my family, I had a close relative who had dementia for many years before they died. And it's kind of like, it's one of those things that when they start doing things, that it's almost like it's a form of ridicule at the beginning when they do silly things that, you know, like, I remember it was my grandfather and he put the ice cream once in the washing machine and everyone laughed, was like, what's the matter with you? And it was like, but clearly that, It was the start of an illness.
Yeah.
You know, clearly it was the start. And it's one of those tragic things that you have to sit there and almost watch it unfold in front of you and you can't do anything about it. And that's one of the most desperate things to it, I think.
And now you make you said an interesting word there, actually, Spencer, which is desperate.
Yeah.
And I think in this movie, Sol's family are desperate. They need help. Because this is a guy who has gone out. He's gone to this party. He thinks he's okay, but he follows Sylvia home and then ends up sleeping outside her apartment door in amongst the rubbish bags, not because he's stalking her, but because he doesn't know where he is. He's lost. He isn't able to find anything. She has to come out and rescue him. And that's the first moment where you think, okay, this film is very serious. It's not messing around. It's not going to make any jokes or anything. And I think that's I think that's commendable for everybody. I think it's good to see a movie that isn't going to go for the jokes. I want to say that obviously Jessica Chastain is good as Sylvia, especially to the scenes towards the end of the film, actually, where we discover more about her character's struggles. They're very good. It takes time to get there. But as I said, she's the closed book. However, I think this film belongs to Peter Sarsgaard as Sol. He's just brilliant here. That it's a real intimate performance for him because he's having to play a man who's struggling but wants to fulfill that life that he's always had. And I think both actors complement each other so very well, even though they are opposites attract. Not in a sort of, you know, romance type way or anything else like that, but in the way that they realise they're kindred spirits to a certain degree, because they're both dealing with that thing, which is memory. They're both trying to deal with it themselves, but also people around them as well. So it's a heavy going movie. There's no two ways about it. And there's a lot of people are going to turn around and say, I'm not going to go and see that because why do I want to see it? Actually, if you can, if you feel like you can do it. And I have to say, even with someone like myself, I found this movie really heavy going. I was thinking, wow, okay, heavy stuff. Yet there are two absolutely brilliant central performances here that make it an entirely worthwhile watch. You're not going to laugh, not going to find anything to be happy about, but sometimes we get those movies, and this is one of them. And if you go to it, as I said, you're going to see two brilliant performances in the lead role, two absolutely stellar performances where you've got, and I know I've said this to you before, Spencer, and I'm going to say it again, and it's kind of a weird thing to say, but you'll understand, it's two actors acting. They can't hide behind anything. They can't hide behind makeup or CGI or anything else like that. All they've got is the dialogue and their expressions. It's kind of like a play, this movie, I guess, just thinking about it. It's kind of like a play. So you watch it and you go, okay, two riveting central performances in a very heavy movie. But I have to say, I don't know if the word impressed is the right word to say about it, but I felt like it was...
Impactful.
Maybe let's go with impactful. Very impactful movie. But even then, I'm kind of tempted to say impressed because of how it's done. But it's a movie that I'm pleased I saw. That's the thing.
Sounds like it's one of those movies that, as you say, might not be a comfortable watch, but it's almost like a movie that everyone should watch.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah. I think you're right. Yes. For very different reasons as well. I think people will come out of that movie with very different opinions compared to other people. But that's a good thing.
Of course. Great stuff. What's next on the list?
So also in cinemas, we've got a film called Perfect Days. Now, do you know A Man with a Van at all, Spencer?
I do.
Excellent. Good. Does he drive between jobs while listening to rock music?
They all do, don't they?
Well, that's the story here. This is a story about a janitor who's got a white van in Japan who drives between jobs listening to rock music. That's the whole premise for the movie. I kid you not.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a beautifully simple premise. And I love the fact that it's so easy to say. No complications. And the janitor is a quiet and unassuming man. He just wants to go about his daily life without hassle or problems. He's constantly doing it with his smile in his face as well. There are times in this film where I thought he was smiling and enjoying his job way too much. Like, there's a scene in this movie where he just cleaned out the men's toilets after some drunk guy went in and made a complete mess. But it didn't faze him. And he did it with a smile on his face, and he cleans up the mess, and he took great pride in getting the floor clean. And I was like, yeah, this guy.
He's happy with his lot. He's happy.
He really is. That's the thing. He really is. You know, even if other people look down on his job, he loves what he does for a living. He loves it. Here's the kicker of this movie. The driving scenes. So the janitor is driving around Japan, listening to lots of different rock music albums. It's a strange experience in a feature film, because you kind of think, well, that's a documentary, surely. But ultimately, it sort of comes off like a documentary rather than an actual film, because these scenes are sort of fly on the wall. You know, we put a little camera in the window or something like that, or on the windscreen. And we're just watching it. And then you've got drone shots as well as of him driving, just driving with this music on. And the music choices in this film are fantastic. It's a killer soundtrack. It really is. You've got Rolling Stones, Patti Smith, The Kinks, Nina Simone as well. Like, they're absolute belters in this. And I just thought, this is cool. I like it. There's an interaction here in this movie. So the janitor takes on a young lad to work with him. And he's trying to explain to him about just how they do with the job. And then obviously they get in the van, they put the music on. Then there is this really funny argument between the janitor and this young lad about Lou Reed's Transformer album. Now, I won't spoil the scene, but I thought it was hilarious. And I also thought, on a real basic level, it shows how obsessed we all get with music and what it can do in not just helping our lives, but also our mental health as well. You know, we listen to music nearly every single day, and some of it's uplifting, some of it is nostalgic, whatever. That's what's happening in this movie. It's all about that. It's all about feelings you get from music. It's wonderful. It really is. The thing with this movie is that I'm still unsure if it is an actual narrative feature film or if it is a semi-fake documentary. I mean, the answer is, I know what the answer is. The answer is actually, no, it's a real feature film made by Wim Wenders. But ultimately, the answer to that question I just said, you know, is it a feature film or is it a fake documentary? The unofficial answer is, I don't care. I do not care what it was. All I know is I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had one of the most relaxing viewing experiences in many years watching this film.
Because, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I just sat there and just let it just play down. And it's just a guy doing his job, getting in his car, playing some cool music. It's kind of like a meditative film. That's the thing.
Listen, I've said this many times before to different people, and you know, given the fact that what we're doing at the moment, it's hardly I think like this, but you should never ever underestimate the power of music and how it infiltrates every single part of your life.
Yep.
No matter what. Even people that say, oh, I'm not into music, you are, you just don't realise it. It's yep. just, you know, it. There is something about music that without it, I would struggle. I would really struggle
yeah.
without music. I really would. It accompanies me. I'll have a TV on it in my lounge, for example, but when I'm in the kitchen at home, I'll have the radio on, which yep. I always do, because obviously I've always been a radio person. And just kind of, it's just, for me, music is subjective, is, you know, and that's why I really detest snobbery in music, because as you say, a great soundtrack like the Stones and Patti Smith and things like that, there might be people out there thinking, oh, I don't want to listen to that. Well, you don't want to, but some people do. So you stay in your lane, I'll stay in my lane, and we're fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. You know, people talk about guilty pleasure. I'm like, to me, no such phrase. You like what you like. That's what it is.
And oh, yeah, that really annoys me. That really annoys me.
Yeah, you like what you like. But, you know, with music, it's such a healing experience. It's such an entertaining experience. And that's what you get with this. This movie is, it's comfort viewing. Not in the way of put your brain in neutral. Pardon the pun. Obviously, this is a guy driving around Japan. Not in that type of way. But it is a comfort viewing experience. It's strange. It's a strange movie. Yet it is, I think it's quite profound in how it does everything. Because, as I said, it's just a relaxing viewing experience, and yet it is, maybe it's got intelligence, but I'm just not seeing it on the surface, and it's there, and it's teaching us about life. That's what it's doing. That's what it's doing, yeah. Teaching us about life in a very different way. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie because it was such a relaxing viewing experience. The lead character, the janitor, is a really fun character. The soundtrack is brilliant as well. I just really enjoyed myself with this movie. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, mate, thank you for today. So what do we have lined up for next week? Anything yet?
So next week we are going to go back to Arrakis and we're going to review Dune Part 2.
Oh, yes, it's recently come out. Is it out already, or is it just
out? No, it's out next week. So we're going to review it next week. So we will talk about that. It has, Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 1 came out 2021. We've been waiting for this. It was meant to come out last year. It's now out this year. So we will talk about that next week. We will also talk about a documentary called Getting It Back, The Story of Simandi. Now, Simandi are a British band who were one of the, I'm going to say, instigators of, no, I'm going to say pioneers of what would ultimately become dance music that we know and love.
Okay.
People don't know who Simandy is. So this is why this documentary is out. So we're going to talk about that. It's on DVD and Blu-ray next week. It's called Getting It Back, The Story of Simandy. Then if you subscribe to the podcast, we will also do a British thriller called Femme. And it's all about trying to reason with yourself as to who you actually are. And it's, it's a British thriller. It did quite well at the cinema when it was released earlier this year. It's now on DVD and Blu-ray. And it's also going to be on Netflix as well, I think, next week. So we're going to talk about that next week.
So, yeah, I've never heard of that. You know, in my background music, I've never heard of them either.
Yeah, see?
It's really random.
But you know what? The same with me. I mean, I was a DJ for 20 years. I did not know Simandy. But watching the documentary, I knew a couple of their tracks. I did not know it was them.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's strange. Oh, no, yeah. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Okay, mate, thanks for this week. Appreciate it. And listen, you have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week.
Will do. You too.
You take care.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't wanna hear the wine. you were gonna see me down. I ain't repeating you, so I'm deleting you from my phone now. You ain't gonna see me cry. I might go get somebody new, just cause I feel like it's over this, over you. You, I don't need your sorry. This ain't a pity party.
Nathan Dorr there, Little Mix, No Time for Tears. So we're heading up towards the news, and after the news, the weather and the final hour of the weekend wind-up. Still time to get in touch. Drop me an email, radio@phoenixfm.com coming up. And we've got Take 5 coming up, and we've also got cover from another, well, I Haven't Forgotten, and all your messages. Just a busy, busy show. Stay tuned. I'll see you in three.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM. News.